doidi, kol doidi, kol doidi naize bu. Kol doidi, kol doidi, kol doidi naize bu.
Okay, good evening. Thanks for coming. Just do a few dedications before we begin. Tonight's class was sponsored by my sister, Davari Herzog. This is in honor of her birthday, which is tonight on Yud Dalet Shvat, the 14th day of Shvat. Happy birthday to you. And Ashnas Bracha Natzlacha, really gebenched a year for you. And much bracha and mazel and good health for you and the whole family. And nachas from the children and grandchildren, and only great, 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 great things. Thank you so much for this dedication. Another dedication tonight. This is on the shir and the CD. It was sponsored by Mr. Enoch Kimmelman, and this is in honor of his mother's yard site on Tu B'Shvat, which is this coming Wednesday. Pasi Bas Rabbi Yechiel Meir Olav Allah HaShalom. Also, L'schus, his father, who had passed away in the summer, this past summer, still within the year, Shmuel ben Chaim Velvel, Olav HaShalom. May they both have a great aliyah, and may the Schus of the Shir stand by them, and may they shower their blessings and their prayers as they pray for Hashem on your behalf, on your behalf of your family, and you should only have brachas and hatzlacha and everything, begashmias in the material and in the spiritual, and only wonderful things. Another dedication this week was by the Bistamsky and Sandlow families. This is in honor of the yard site of Nechama Basya, Bas Reb Avram Yitzchak, Olav HaShalom, on the 16th of Shvat. May her neshama have a tremendous and great aliyah, great elevation to the greatest and greatest of heights. May she channel lots of brachas down to the whole family, to her children, and to the rest of the family, for only simcha and only mazel and good health and only good things. Thanks so much for that dedication. Another dedication was by Rabbi Herzl Alulian, and this is in honor of his father's yard site, Mesud ben Agajan. This was on the 17th of Shvat. This was a dedication for the CD. May his neshama have a very, very great aliyah, and may you merit to have much bracha and mazel. May your father send for you and for your entire community, for all the good that you do in the community, for the people that you help, with much bracha and much mazel, and only good things for the entire family. Shir was also dedicated in honor of the birthdays of Yanki and Rivki Reichik. May you both have a wonderful, wonderful good year with much blessings, prosperity, and parnasa brachava, and achas from the children, and grandchildren, and only good things. Last dedication, Shir was dedicated by Sharon and Ushi Bistamsky. This is in honor of their son Noah's 14th birthday, this past Shabbos on the 11th of Shvat. May Hashem give him a wonderful, wonderful, good year of great growth in Torah and in everything else, in good things as he grows in becoming a very special person, and a great inspiration to the entire family, and a wonderful light to all of us. Thank you. Thanks to all those who dedicated. This week is Parshas Yisro, and it's a very, very exciting parsha, Parshas Yisro. We read about the giving of the Torah. Now, there's so much to talk about. There is so much to talk about in the parsha, and Parshas Yisro, the parsha of the giving of the Torah. I would like to spend this class, being that this is the parsha of the giving of the Torah, I'd like to just take a moment to marvel at the beauty and at the perfection of the Torah, and to show how perfect even the commentaries on the Torah are, let alone the Torah itself, the Chumash. But we know as the Torah evolved, the Torah was given to us, and much commentary was written. And we know that the earlier commentators, both the authors of Torah Shebaal Peh, all the way down to the Shach and the Ramah, who authored the Shach and the Taz, who were the main commentators on the Code of Jewish Law, wrote their pirush, wrote their commentaries with Ruach HaKodesh. That's what the Holy Tanya says. The Bala Tanya says that all the authors, until the Shach and the Taz, who lived about 350 years ago, when they wrote their commentaries, they wrote it all with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration. And which means that what is written is much more than they thought they were writing, because God was channeling through them. And the words are super holy and has so much interpretation. So what I'd like to do this week, and we've done it in the past, this time it's not going to be as complex, but we are going to analyze a Rashi, do a little analysis on a Rashi, and this is really spectacular, as we break down two Rashis in the Parsha, and then afterwards we're going to see how multi-layered Rashi is. Rashi is our great teacher and master of the Torah. We see how multi-layered it is, that there are great Kabbalistic, mystical ideas that are hidden in a Rashi that no one would ever have noticed. And then we suddenly realize and say, wow, look at this. This is crazy. Okay, so let's take a look at this. I made copies because the shir will require you looking, not necessarily require, but it will help looking inside and seeing the actual comment that Rashi makes, the two Rashis that we're going to learn. So again, this week the Torah tells us that Hashem comes down to give the Torah. Comes down on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, and there is the thundering and the lightning and the whole thing, the whole place is going crazy. And the Jewish people come out towards God, towards the bottom of the mountain. So the Pasuk says in Shishi, this is by the beginning of the sixth reading, this is in Perek Yotes, that's chapter 19, verse 20, if you want to look it up. But again, for those that are here, you'll have the Rashi in front of you, the Pasuk in front of you. It says, Vayered Hashem, I'm quoting from the top of the page, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. God came down on Mount Sinai, on Har Sinai, El Roi Shahar, to the top of the mountain. Vayikra Hashem lo Moshe, and God calls to Moshe, El Roi Shahar, to the top of the mountain. God came down, and God tells Moshe, come up. Vayal Moshe, and Moshe came up. And then God speaks to Moshe before the actual ceremony begins, and Hashem speaks to the Jewish people. So the verse said, but the opening words were, Vayered Hashem, that Hashem descended. Unbelievable. God descended on the mountain. So Rashi immediately makes a comment on the word Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Look at the Rashi, I quoted it. Yachol Yered Olav Mamish. We would think that it literally means that God came down on the mountain. Shem comes down and he's touching the mountain. He's upon the mountain. Mount Sinai has God on it. Talmud Loimar, the verse says, the Pasuk says, Ki min hashamayim dibarti imochem. There is a pasuk, there is a verse later, after the Ten Commandments. This pasuk is before the Ten Commandments, before the Aseres HaDibros. This is after the Aseres HaDibros, in the end of the parasha, next chapter, chapter 20, verse 19. So over there, the pasuk says, and I actually quoted that pasuk as well, the next verse. It says over there, Atem re'isem, you see, ki min hashamayim dibarti imochem, that I have spoken to you from heaven. So that means that God is speaking from heaven. He's not speaking from the mountain. So that seems to contradict. Again, here it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, that Hashem came down on the mountain. Over there it says that God says, I spoke to you, you saw that I'm speaking to you from heaven. If he's speaking from heaven, it's not from the mountain. So then what do we do over here? We have a contradiction between the psukim. So therefore Rashi says, Malamed, this teaches us, Shehirkin Shemayim El Yoinim V'Tachtonim. In order to resolve this, Rashi says, this teaches us that God bent down the heavens, the upper heavens and the lower heavens, because we know there are seven heavens. So when Hashem came, when Hashem came down, he brought down the heavens, okay, with him. Because again, we're trying to resolve how can God be both on the mountain and in heaven? And the answer is, he brought heaven down onto the mountain. So he was in heaven and on the mountain at the same time. Right? Makes sense? He came down with the heaven on the mountain. So like this, both are true. He's talking from the mountain, but he's also talking from heaven, from Shemayim. As it says, so Rashi explains it very, 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 very specifically. He says, Shehirkin Shemayim al Yoinim v'tachtonim, Hashem brought down, he bent down the upper heavens and the lower heavens, v'hitzion al gabe har, and he spread them out over the mountain, kematza alamita, like spreadsheets, like bed sheets. Like you put a sheet or a quilt or a blanket on a bed, and so then you spread it out. That's what God did with the heavens. He spread it out over the mountain, like you would put a sheet on a bed. V'yerid kisei akavid aleihem, and then the throne of glory, which is Hashem, is on the throne of glory, came down onto the bed sheets, onto the heaven that was on the mountain. Good. That's Rashi's comment. Now, simply learning the Rashi, at first glance, it would seem that why did Rashi have to make this entire comment? What was bothering him here? What was wrong? Again, when we're learning, Rashi's trying to help us. So what was bothering him over here when we're studying? Well, what he was perturbed was, Rashi says, what do you mean? It says God came down on the mountain. Well, elsewhere it says he spoke to us from the heaven. So that doesn't fit. If he's speaking from the mountain, he's not speaking from heaven. That's what it would imply. And that's how most people would learn the Rashi. We can't say so. Because if that would have been what prompted Rashi to give his explanation, was because Rashi was bothered. Why does it say elsewhere it says that he came down from heaven? Then Rashi should have began his comment by bringing that pasuk. Rashi should have immediately said, again, when it says Vayered al Har Hashem al Har Sinai, God came down on Har Sinai, the words should have been V'kasav Echad Oimer, and another pasuk says Ki min Hashemayim Dibarti Amochem, I spoke to you from heaven, because that's what's making a problem. Now, so he should have immediately brought the other verse and said, and the other verse says so. So I have a contradiction. How do we know that that's Rashi's style? When he has two psukim that are contradicting each other, take a look in the next Rashi. I quoted you a second Rashi. The second Rashi that I quoted you in that page. So what did I do with the pages over here? Did I leave them in the other room? Take a look at the second Rashi. See, on the next verse, again, the contradiction is two psukim. One pasuk is here, the other pasuk is in the end of Parshas Yisro. So on that verse, Ki min Hashemayim dibarti, Rashi quotes the words, from heaven I spoke to you. And over there, Rashi asks the same question. Hey, earlier it says he spoke from the mountain. Here it says he spoke from heaven, right? And how does Rashi say it over there? Rashi says immediately, Ki min Hashemayim dibarti, v'kasov echad oimer, and another verse says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, that God spoke, that Hashem came down on Har Sinai. That's the way you ask the question. You bring both psukim and you say, look, they contradict each other. Rashi doesn't say that over here. Over here, Rashi begins his questioning with a general question. We would think, Yachol, we would think that Hashem came down on the mountain. Yachol, Yered Olav Mamish. Implying that even before Rashi knows of the second verse, I don't even know of the second verse yet. Just by learning over here that Hashem came down on the mountain, I'm already uncomfortable. And I'm already questioning, would I really think that God came down on the mountain? That's why he says right away, Yochel, would I really think? We don't even know of a second verse. I'm already questioning. Okay? To prove that a little even stronger, to give an extra proof to that, if the whole thing that bothered Rashi was only the second verse, why it can't be that God came down on the mountain, because I have a contradictory verse, I have another verse that contradicts it, the verse later in the parasha, then the question should have been asked only later, the second time, not over here. When you're learning Chumash over here, you have no problem. The Torah is giving you information. God came down on the mountain, fine. Everybody's happy. We're going to learn the Ten Commandments. We're going to go through. Rashi doesn't have to say anything. Later, when I get to the next pasuk, and over there it says, God says to Moshe, they have seen, I spoke to you from heaven. Over there, the student will jump up and say, hey, Rebbe, I don't understand. We just learned earlier that Hashem came down on the mountain, and here it says, Hashem says, I spoke from heaven. So Rashi over here has to explain how we reconcile both things. God spoke both from heaven and from the mountain. He brought the heavens down on the mountain, and that's how. Again, the question only arises when we get to the contradictory verse. The contradictory verse is later in chapter 20, not in chapter 19, not over here, in the next puzzle. If Rashi is already commenting over here, before he even studied, is a sign that this verse on its own is already problematic. There's something over here that's telling Rashi, this isn't smooth, this isn't smooth. God coming down on the mountain, something isn't right. On its own, without. Rashi's only proving it from bringing, but again, Rashi does bring the next pasuk, but that's only to assist him in his question that's bothering him anyways. There's something else that was bothering him over here, not over there. Over here it was bothering him. He's only bringing extra proof from the pasuk over there that he says, I spoke to you from heaven, is a sign that it can't mean that he was mamish over here on the mount. Okay? So we need to know what is wrong over here when we're studying Chumash with accepting that Hashem came down literally on the mountain. What's wrong with that? Okay. The other thing that we need some clarification is when we begin learning after Rashi asks the question, how does he resolve it? He resolves it by saying heaven and earth came together. God brought down the heavens on the mountain, and he spoke from top of the mountain, but it's also from the heaven. Fine. Now, good answer. Great answer. Now, Rashi's answer is stated in the Mechilta. The Mechilta is a medrash. It's a type of medrash on Shemois. Rashi's answer is stated in the Mechilta. And Rashi is almost quoting verbatim, but not exactly verbatim the Mechilta. Almost. The question we have over here is, Rashi seems to add a lot of detail that is unnecessary, and we know how much Rashi was careful with his words. So when he writes his pirush of what happened, he adds a lot of detail that wouldn't be necessary, and even though most of that detail says in the Mechilta, but we learned this already, at different times when we analyzed Rashi, Rashi is not a gatherer. He's not a malakate. He's not someone who gathers pirushim and he throws them in because he just, you know, wants you to be happy with something. He's not cut and paste. Rashi doesn't do that. Whenever Rashi is quoting from a medrash, Rashi will tell you openly that I'm taking it from the medrash. If Rashi is not telling you that he's taking it from the medrash, is a sign that Rashi is not taking it from the medrash. He is deducing it and extrapolating it from the very verse itself, not because a medrash says so. He's seeing it in the words. So now that question is, and here doesn't say that it's coming from Mechilta. So let's see all the details, what Rashi is saying. Rashi says, look over here, Malamed, this teaches us, Shehirkin, that Hashem brought down, Shemayim, let's see the details. The upper heavens and the lower heavens. Okay? Then Rashi goes further. It doesn't only say that God brings down the heavens. Rashi says, "Vetzion agabayhar, he spread them on the mountain." And not only that, he gives you an example of what kind of spreading. He spread it like you spread bed sheets on a bed. Kamatza alamita, like sheets on a bed. And then Rashi says, "Vayerit kisei kavod aleihem." Now, if I was going to give you a short version, if I'm in a rush because I have a lot to write, like we know Rashi was writing a lot. He was a very busy man. So if you want to write this shorter, you can give the whole interpretation, leaving out a lot of detail. All you have to say is, I'm going to read it now with skipping all the stuff that are not necessary. Let's do it now. We can say like this, Malame, this teaches you, Shehirkin Shamayim, he bent down the mountain, Al Gabeyahar, you see all those three words we're skipping, Al Yoinim, Tachtoinim, Vitzion, all that can be, who cares, the upper heavens, the lower heavens, who's talking, what difference does it make? Okay, God brought the heavens, yeah, you want to know, upper heavens, lower heavens, Vitzion, and he spread it, who cares what he did with it? He brought down the heaven on the mountain. And then it says, and Rashi could have skipped the next words, Kematz Alamita, not important, and Rashi should have said, Vayered, and he didn't even have to say Kisei HaKavod. That too is too much explanation. He could have said, Vayered Hashem Aleihem. And Hashem came down on the mountain. Okay? So it's a short version. You're saying the same thing, and you're just cutting out all the unnecessary. And what should have said? Again, Shehirkin, Shamayim, Hashem brought down the heaven, Al Gabe Yahor on the mountain, Vayered Hashem Aleihem, and Hashem came down on the mountain, and everybody's happy. It's from the heaven, it's from the mountain, and it's all good. What does he have to tell us, number one, the upper heaven and the lower heaven? Secondly, what does he have to talk about the bed sheets over here? He spread it out like a bed sheet on the bed. And why does he have to tell us that God came down with the throne of glory? Okay, Hashem came down. We're talking that Hashem came down. How Hashem came down? And maybe tell us that he came down with the throne of glory with 70,000 angels on the right side and 95,000 angels on the left side. And the ones in the front were fiery, flashing orange and pink. And the ones in the back were blue and red. I mean, you can go on and tell us all the detail. That's not important. Well, you tell me what's important. That's all he has to say. He doesn't have to say all of this. Okay? Now, let's put this Rashi on hold for a moment. Now let's look at the next Rashi. Again, as I told you, in the end of the parsha is where it says that God says, I spoke to you from heaven. Over there, Rashi comes, has the same question again. Hey, God speaking from heaven? We just learned earlier. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, that Hashem came down on the mountain. Take a look at the Rashi. Kimin Hashemayim dibarti. Rashi right away brings up the question. The Kosev Echad Oimer, and the other verse says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, that God came down on the mountain. What do you mean he spoke from heaven? He's on the mountain. Same question. Now, why Rashi has to deal with the same thing? He dealt with it just. What does he think? Rashi is forgetting. He's losing his memory. I mean, he just told us the Pirush just before. Why does he have to repeat it again? Even if Rashi says, okay, you know what? You might have got so overwhelmed by the Ten Commandments that you might have forgotten everything else. I want to repeat it again. Okay, so Rashi's repeating again a Pirush. But the strange thing is, look what Rashi answers. Does he give the same answer like he says over here? Let's see what he says. So Rashi says, we have a contradiction. This verse, it says he came down. On the other verse, it says he spoke from heaven. So Rashi says, Ba'akasif Ashlishi, the third verse comes. V'chriya b'neimo. Whenever we have two psukim that are contradicting each other, and we don't know what to do, we look for a third verse who is going to make peace between the two verses. This is, by the way, everybody, I don't know if you before Hoidu in Shul, this is the before the Chazan says Kaddish, it's actually that's the law. That when you have two verses that contradict each other, you wait till find the third verse, and that one is going to make peace between the other verses. Okay, so Rashi says, what's the third verse? Here we have two verses that contradict each other. One says God came down on the mountain, the other one says Hashem spoke from heaven. So here's the third verse. This is in Deuteronomy in Devarim, in Perek Dalid. Over there it says like this. God says to the Jewish, Moshe says to the Jewish people, Min Hashemayim Mishmiyacha es Koiloi. From heaven he made you hear his voice. Liyasrecha, in order to teach you. God wanted to teach you, to chastise you, whatever, rebuke you, make a mensch out of you. Where did he spoke to you from heaven. Vala Aretz, and on the earth, Haracha, he showed you as Ishe Hagdoila, his great fire. Ooh. See what the verse says? God made you hear his voice from heaven, and on the earth he showed you his big fire. So what do we see from here? What is this verse telling us? That where was God at Har Sinai? He was really in heaven, but you saw his mighty fire down on earth. That's what Rashi says. Kvodo bashamayim, God's glory remained in heaven. Hashem never came down. His glory remained in heaven. The isha yugvuraso yala aretz, his fire and his might and his power were on the earth. It's like he sent down a representative. He sent down the fire to represent him on earth. But so when you were listening to him, you heard God, but God was in heaven, but his display of power was on the earth. Ooh. So what do we have over here? Over here we have another way of reconciling these two psukim. And this is another way of reconciling the two verses. We're not saying that God brought down the heavens down on the mountain. What is Rashi saying? How do we reconcile if God is speaking to them from heaven or God is speaking from earth? How do we reconcile the two? We reconcile them by saying that really his voice remained in heaven. I mean, he's coming, he's speaking from heaven, but his power is on earth. That's one pirush. So hold it. And then Rashi says, but what happened with what he said over here? Rashi had such a beautiful answer. That it was both on the mountain and it was from heaven, because God brought the heavens down on the mountain. And both are true. Rashi ignores that. Rashi first gives us another pirush. That he's speaking from heaven and his power is on earth. Oh, so let's see. Davar achar, another pshat. Another explanation. I'm giving you now a second way to resolve it. Ooh, here is where Rashi brings what he said earlier. Hirkin shamayim u'shmei shamayim. God brought down the heavens and the heavens of heavens. And he spread them on the mountain. And he brings a verse in Tehillim where it says, "Vayet Shamayim Vayered." Then Hashem tilted the heavens and he came down. Ooh, so the second explanation of Rashi is the same explanation that he gives over here. God brought the heaven down on the mountain. My question, simple question. The same contradiction is already we bring in the earlier Rashi, right? In the beginning, before we begin the Aseres Hadibros. And over there Rashi doesn't say anything about Rashi doesn't bring the first Pirush, the first explanation that he brings over here. He doesn't say that God spoke from heaven and his power was on the earth. All Rashi says is he brought down the heaven down here. How he brought the heaven down to the mountain. How come over there, not only does he bring two explanations, which he doesn't say over here the first time, the explanation that he said over here is only the second explanation. He uses it's only a secondary option. We always know whenever Rashi brings two explanations for something, the one that he likes better, the one that he prefers, is the one that he puts first. Because he had a choice. He can either use the first explanation or the second one. The one that he prefers, he uses first. Unless there's rules to this. Unless Rashi right away tells you there's two explanations. If Rashi makes an introduction and he says, our teachers argue about it, or there's two explanations, then he's telling you, the reason I'm going to put number one before number two is not because I prefer that one better, it's just because I'm a human being and I can't speak two things at one time like God did. God spoke two commandments at the same time, Zohar and Shomer at the same time. I can't do that, so I'll have to put one before the other, but I don't have any preference of one over the other. Rashi will make that introduction. But whenever Rashi doesn't do that, and he first makes a pirush, and then he says a second pirush, it's because the first one is what he likes better. So here's a strange thing. The first time we encounter the contradiction, Rashi doesn't even mention the pirush that God is in heaven and his power is on earth. When he comes to the second time and he has the same contradiction, the same verses that are clashing with each other, Rashi brings as his first pirush, which means the ones that he prefers, the explanation that he doesn't even mention over here. It's a question. It doesn't even mention him. And only as the second option, he brings the explanation that God brought down the heavens on the mountain. It's something to notice. Now, most people would never, ever, ever bother with such little things and say, okay, but this is Torah, this is godly. So every nuance has so much meaning to it. The other thing is, even when Rashi does bring the second explanation, take a look, it's pretty different than the first place. Now let's take a look. You see in the first Rashi that I'm giving you, see what did Rashi say? Melamed, I'm going back to the first Rashi. Shehirkin, that Hashem brought down Shemayim Elyonim, the upper heavens, Vatachtonim, and the lower winds. Vitzion Agabahar, and he spread them on the mountain, Kamatza Alamita, like spreadsheet, like bed sheets on the bed. And then Vayered Kisei Kavod Aleihem. Then the throne of glory came down. Let's take a look in the second Rashi. Davar Achar, another pshat. Rashi says, Hirkin, Hashem brought down Shemayim, the heavens. Shemaya Shemayim, and the heavens of the heavens. Vitzion Alalah. So first of all, like this. In the second Rashi, in the end of the parsha, Rashi is first of all giving us a much shorter version. And that's okay. It's okay that he's giving us a shorter version because he's repeating the same thing a second time. He doesn't have to be so elaborate. He can be short. That we understand. We'll forgive Rashi for that. The problem of what we hear is he's not only that he's shortening it, he's actually making changes. The same pirush that he said, he's using different words. Now why did he do that? Look what he does. You see, in our Rashi it says, Shehirkin, Shamayim ha'olyonim v'tachtonim, the upper ones and the lower ones. Looking down here in the second Rashi, when he says God brought down the heavens, he doesn't say the upper heavens and the lower heavens. He says Shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim, the heavens and the heavens of heavens. Come on, you gotta be very naive to believe that Rashi didn't do this on purpose. I mean, he's going to talk about all the heavens in one verse. And the first time he calls them the upper heavens and the lower heavens. The second time he calls them the heavens and the heavens of the heavens. Which one is it? I mean, it's the same idea. Obviously, the heavens of the heavens are the upper ones. And the heavens plane are the lower ones. But why over here call them the upper and the lower, and over here call them the heavens and the heavens of the heavens? He must have had a reason, good reason for that. Secondly, he skips the whole thing about the bedsheets in the second one. It's interesting. He does mention that he spread it out, that he didn't only bring down the heavens, he spread them out on the mountain. But he skips the bedsheets. But the one thing Rashi adds over there that he doesn't say, but Yossi, is he brings a proof from a verse in Psalms in Tehillim. V'cheinu oimer, there is a pasuk that says, Vayet shamayim vayered, that Hashem tilted the heavens and he came down. Wow. Rashi is supporting this pirush, that God brought down the heavens. Rashi's bringing a pasuk that says that. That God actually took the heavens. It says so in scripture. It says so in a verse. Vayet shamayim vayered. But hold it. If you have such a good proof, where it says in a pasuk that God brought down the heaven, should not have Rashi brought that the first time he's giving us that novelty? In the first time he's presenting this idea that Hashem is bringing down the heavens, he should have brought by us the pasuk, Vayet Shemayim Vayered, that Hashem brought down the heavens. He doesn't say that. He only brings the verse the second time. Where I would think the second time he should have been shorter, not have brought the verse, and the first time he should have brought the pasuk, that Hashem brought down the heaven. So we got a whole bunch of questions over here. And here's a brilliant answer from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It is just unbelievable. And what's really crazy about all of this is just wait till we hit the Kabbalah on this. Just wait. This is cuckoo. Okay, so please, hear this. I mean cuckoo, it's so brilliant. It's so beyond. The Rebbe says, he says like this. He says, you see, as soon as we're learning the Chumash, we right away have a problem. As soon as we begin learning, when it says Hashem came down on the mountain, we are right away suspicious if that can mean literally that God came down on the mountain. Why are we suspicious? Why can't it mean that Hashem came down on the mountain? For a simple reason. Hashem came down as a fire. That we see. When Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu the first time on the snare, it was through a fire. Here also, there was a fire, Hashem speaking to him, the Ishei HaGdola, Hashem's great fire. So God is appearing as a fire. But you have to be, see, the only way you can ask this question is only if when you're reading Chumash, you visualize what's happening. If you don't visualize it, if you're not living it, you're supposed to live the Chumash you learn. If you're not putting yourself into the situation, like imagining it and visualizing, you would never have thought of this question, but the Rebbe does that. He visualizes everything. So he says like this, hold it. If God came down on the mountain, so the mountain should have been on fire. It doesn't say that the mountain was on fire. In the psukim before this, right before in Pasuk Yud Ches, this is Pasuk Yud Ches, 19. Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, Vahar Sinai Oshan Kuloi. It says, Har Sinai, Mount Sinai was smoking. It doesn't say it was completely ablaze. You saw, when you looked at the mountain, you saw the entire mountain was smoking. Like a huge smoke that was going up. But you didn't see the mountain burning. There was a fire above the mountain, but the mountain wasn't ablaze. If Hashem came down on the mountain should have been burning, especially if there are plants on the mountain. Right? If there are plants, the vegetation on the mountain should have caught fire. We always know how careful it is. We are always over here. And they give you fire warnings. What's the name of the beer? Smoky beer. It's always telling you how fire. This is the desert over here. Things were pretty dry over here. So if God is coming down on the mountain and there are vegetation. Now the question is, how do you know there are vegetation? Well, the Rebbe takes care of that as well. How do you know there's vegetation? First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu met God on that mountain and there was a snare. There was a thorn bush. And so there was vegetation on the mountain. Well, you might argue and say there was only one thorn bush, and that one burnt already. Now, that one didn't burn, first of all, because when God spoke to Moshe, it says the thorn bush did not get burnt. So that thorn bush was still there. But maybe it was only one thorn bush. No. The Ramban says in Devarim, in Pasuk Vav, the reason why it's called Har Sinai, he says in Parshas Devarim, the first in Pasuk Vav, in the first Perek Aleph, In Parshat Devarim, the Ramban says it's called Har Sinai. Maybe, he says, because there were many snez. It was a mountain full of thorn bushes. They were full of snez on the mountain. And that's what's called Sinai. Sinai means many snez. So first of all, we have a proof that there are many, many thorn bushes there. Another proof is Rashi asked the question. But when Moshe Rabbeinu meets God in the burning bush, Rashi says, why from a thorn bush and why not from another tree? What do you mean? That's the only thing that's around there is a thorn bush. So if you see from Rashi's question that not only were the thorn bushes there, there were other vegetation on the mount. Another proof to that is, later in Parshas Kisiso, when Moshe goes up on the mountain, they warn Moshe, Hashem warns Moshe, make sure the animals, al yiru, al mul panei aharo, the animals should not go graze on the mountain. Ooh, so you see there was grazing pasture next to the mountain or on the mountain. Or also we find, why did Moshe go to the Midbar in the first place when he met God by Har Sinai? Is he took out the sheep, he took his flocks to graze. So if there was no vegetation there, why would Moshe go there? So from all these things you see that there is vegetation on the mountain. If there's vegetation on the mountain, why is the mountain not burning? It's a simple question. So you call it a klutz kasha. Just if you're thinking the story, why isn't it burning? The whole place should have been burning. Unless you say it was a miracle. See, the whole thing was anyways a miracle. So unless you say it was a miracle that even though there was fire on the mountain was not catching fire. Okay, but then why would God make extra miracles that are not necessary? What's wrong? The mountain should burn. You can say, you see, by Moshe, he had it burn, not get burnt, but it was burning. But why make an extra miracle of it? Or is it necessary? Now, therefore, it would make sense to say that God did not come down. The fire did not come down literally on the mountain. The fire only came close to the mountain. Now, you understand something? When fire goes next to something, what happens? It causes the object to smoke. So from the very verse itself, forget about the other pasuk that says that God spoke from heaven. Even without that, just learning the pasuk over here, where you see that the mountain was smoking, and then it says Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Rashi says, Yochel, you would think that Yered al of Mamish, that it literally came down. I'm not so sure about that. Rashi says that God came down on the mountain, because why isn't the mountain burning? That itself casts enough doubt that God is not on the mountain. Now, but maybe we should say, then we should say on the other hand, that for sure he wasn't on the mountain. Because if he was on the mountain, then the mountain would have been burning. And the pasuk doesn't say that it was burning. The pasuk only says that it was smoking. That we can't say. That for sure God wasn't on the mountain. Why not? Because that's Rashi derives from the entire feeling you get when you read the Chumash. When you read the entire chapter, what's the whole theme over here? Hashem is warning the Jewish people to stay away from the mountain. It's over and over again. Keep away. You'll touch the mountain, you're going to be, God forbid, electrified, electrocuted, and die. Don't come close to the mountain. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu again, right after this, go back down, make sure you have barriers, make sure you have markers. No one should come on the mountain. What does that imply? That the mountain is holy. The mountain is holy. Why? Because God is on the mountain. So you have like a contradictory thing. From the story, it seems like God is not on the mountain. Because if he would be on the mountain, why isn't it burning? But from the general feeling that you get from all these warnings and from what the Torah seems to be saying is that Hashem is on the mountain. So that's why Rashi says, okay. Yochel, I don't know what it is, but I'm not sure about this. So then Rashi brings the pasuk. Later it says what? That Hashem spoke from heaven. So you see, he's not on the mountain. But if he's speaking from heaven, then why is the mountain holy? And what does it mean, Vayered Hashem, that Hashem came down? So Rashi resolves it. God came down with the heavens on the mountain. So first of all, you resolve the contradiction. He's on the heaven, but he's also on the mountain. Okay, that resolves the contradiction. It also tells you that he's not literally on the mountain, because there is interruption between him and the mountain. What's there? The heavens are there. That's why the mountain isn't burning, because the heavens are on the mountain. But on the other hand, Rashi doesn't suffice with that, because he wants to explain, if there is an interruption, then why is the mountain holy? Why is the mountain holy? So that's why Rashi came up with this beautiful idea that God took the heavens, and what did he do with the heavens? He spread them on the mountain like a bed sheets. What happens when you put bed sheets on a bed? It's not that there is a bed with bed sheets. And when you're on bed, you say, I slept tonight on my blank, you know, on a sheet. You didn't sleep on a sheet, you slept in bed. The bed had sheets on it. Sheets become merge with the bed. They become the bed. See, that's why Rashi's emphasizing. It's not stam that God came down with the heavens. God came down with the heavens. He spread them out like a sheet. And he says like a bed sheet. It's important. It's not just Rashi's not just being poetic over here. He's telling you what was going on so you understand what's going on. Hashem is speaking from the heavens, which is on the mountain, spread like a bed sheet, and the bed sheet becomes part of the bed. So where is God? On the mountain. But he's not touching the mountain. That's why it's not burning. The mountain itself. There is an interruption, but the hefsik, that which isn't interfering, is not really an interference, because it's really considered one thing. Because it's like a bed sheet. Okay. Now let's go to the... That explains why Rashi puts in the details. But now for a moment, let's go look at the other Rashi. And see, and we'll still come back to more of the details in Rashi's words in a moment. But let's first take a look at the other Rashi at the end of the Parsha. And why Rashi over there, remember the question, first gives another pirush that God didn't even come down. God remained in heaven and only his power was on the earth. His fire was on the earth. And even when he does bring that God came down on the mountain, he leaves out the bread sheets. He says he spread them out, but not the bed sheets. We'll understand perfectly why. Because when we look at the psukim after Aseres HaDibros, and we try to feel what's the feeling the pasuk is giving. In each place when Rashi is learning, he's trying to give you the main idea, the main feeling of what the Torah is trying to convey. After the Aseres HaDibros, when we look at the, over there is a different message. Hashem tells Moshe and he says, I want to warn the Jewish people, they shouldn't make any replicas of the heavenly beings that they see in the heaven. Let them not make any images of any stars, or let them not make any images of any angelic beings that they've seen. Because suddenly by Har Sinai, they saw the heavens. Because I spoke to you from the heavens. What's the emphasis? What's the gist? What's the message being conveyed? That the giving of the Torah was a time in which heaven was exposed, in which God was speaking from the heavens. The verse emphasizes not the descent of Hashem on the mountain in which he comes down to earth, but that it was a heavenly experience. You saw the heavens, therefore don't copy the heavens. If that's the case, the only problem is we can't say it was pure heaven. Why can't you say it was pure heaven? Because that's what Rashi's asking. Min Hashemayim, it says, I spoke to you from heaven. But there is another verse that said earlier, Vayered Hashem, that Hashem came down on the mountain, it came down to earth. So we're bothered. So over there, Rashi's trying to retain, he's giving you an answer that's going to try to keep God as heavenly as possible. In our verse, we're trying to bring God down the most, because that's what the verse is trying to say. Don't let the people go next to the mountain. Keep them at a distance. Don't let them come close, because if they'll touch the mountain, they're going to die. Why? Because earth became holy. That's the gist, that's the message over here. The message over there is the opposite. God is in heaven. Don't copy the heavenly celestial beings. In both cases, we have to reconcile with the other verse. So over there, Rashi comes up with a solution that only fits there, it doesn't fit over here. What's his first solution? God never came down to earth. God was in heaven. I found the third pasuk, Rashi says, that Hashem spoke to you from heaven, and he only had his fire burning on earth. Oh, that's Rashi is very comfortable with that explanation over there, not over here. Because over here, we don't want to hear that. Over here, we want to hear how Hashem came down on the mountain. In the end of the parsha, where it's emphasizing, where the pasuk is emphasizing the heavenliness of the experience, over there, the Rashi will bring the first pirush that puts God completely in heaven, only his fire is on earth. And that's his preferred pshat. However, Rashi is still, he can't leave you only with that, because it's, after everything is said and done, it still says Vayered Hashem, that Hashem came down on the Har Sinai. Yes, it doesn't say it later, it said it earlier, but it still said that Hashem came down. Another thing, we did learn that the mountain became holy, and if God wasn't completely in heaven, why did the mountain become holy? Just because his fire is burning there. That's why Rashi brings Davarachar, another pshat over there. But it's a second pshat. It's not as preferred, in which he says God brought down the heaven. But take a look. Even over there when Rashi brings, this is the brilliance, this is so crazy. Even over there when Rashi brings the second pirush, that God brought the heaven down to earth, Rashi tries to keep it as heavenly as possible. Not, right? Not to distort the heaven. Not to make heaven earth. That's why Rashi, first of all, when he describes heaven, how does he describe it? He describes it, Shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim. The heavens and the heavens of the heavens. Ooh, if God is coming down on the heavens, and he's bringing not only the heavens of the heavens, that's pretty much heaven, right? So Rashi wants to give you. This is like seriously heaven, because it's Shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim. And more than that, Rashi doesn't say he spread it like a bedsheet. He leaves out the detail of a bedsheet, because if you turn it into a bedsheet, then the heaven stops being heaven. The heaven becomes a sheet on the mountain. It becomes the bed. That's good over here, because in our Rashi we want to say how much the revelation was part of earth. But over there, where we want to say that it was heaven, Rashi leaves out the point that it was matzah alamita, that it was a bedsheet, because the bedsheet will make it part of earth, and the heaven will stop being heaven. And we want it to be heaven, because the pasuk emphasizes min hashamayim, that I spoke to you from heaven. So that's why he leaves out. But he has to say that he spread it out. He does say vihitzion, he spread it. He doesn't say like a breadsheet, but he says spread it. Because if you're not going to say he spread it, you're still bothered with the question, why did the mountain become holy? So you have to say that the heaven did get spread over the mountain, yet it remained heaven, and God spoke from the heaven. That's also why Dafka over there, Rashi brings the pasuk, and over here he doesn't bring the pasuk. Over there he brings a proof. Which pasuk? He brings a proof that God brought down the heaven. Vayet Shamayim. Remember we asked the question? If Rashi has a proof that God brought down the heaven, why doesn't he bring it in the first time? The answer is, what Rashi's bringing from the pasuk is the opposite. Not that God brought down the heaven. What Rashi's trying to prove from that verse is that all that he did was he tilted the heaven. Vayet Shamayim. Because the pasuk doesn't say Vayet Shamayim, Vayamoit Shamayim ala Oretz. It just says Vayet. Vayet means he bended the heaven. And that's all we want, is that God bent the heaven down. So again, over there the emphasis is how heavenly the experience was and not part of earth. So the pasuk says, Vayet Shamayim, he bent the heaven, Vayered, then he came down. It's not a verse you want to bring over here, because over here you want to emphasize how much the heavens became part of earth. And that's the difference. This also explains why by us it doesn't say Shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim. Rashi says Shamayim elyonim v'tachtonim. And the simple reason is, first of all, if God is coming down, we understand. If God himself came down, and the way he's coming down is not that he's leaving the heavens behind and he's coming down, but that he's coming down with the heavens. That's what we're learning, because Hashem came. Because we are learning that there's something there on top of the mountain, or else the mountain would be burning. Remember. So there's got to be that he brings something down. Oh, if Hashem is coming down by bringing the whole system down, we understand that Hashem had to bring more than one heaven, because between us and Hashem there are seven heavens. There are seven heavens. If there are seven heavens, Rashi says, Elyoinim v'tachtoinim, the upper and the lower. But the reason why he calls them not heaven and heaven of heaven, but over here he calls them, in our Rashi, he calls them Elyoinim v'tachtoinim, the upper and the lower, because that emphasizes more the descent. He's coming down from the upper, bringing the upper, collapsing the upper heavens, lower, 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 till he takes tachtonim, the lower heavens, and he puts them down on the mountain. So you got a Rashi, and every word sparkles. And every word is like, wow, it's perfect. Over there, the message is more to emphasize the descendants of God, God's descent. In the end, the message is more the transcendence of Hashem. Yet, in each place, over here, we're emphasizing the descent, but we can't say complete descent. We have to integrate it with some measure of transcendence. Over there, it's the opposite. We're emphasizing transcendence, but we do have to reconcile it with the descent. So we're having a transcendental descent. Over here, we're having a... Over here, we're having not a transcendental descent. What would be the opposite of that? I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to try that. Okay, but the, see the difference of the emphasis. Here is that he's here, but he's still up there. And over there, he's up there, but he's still down here. Okay, nice. Now watch this. Which pasuk, now take a look at your sheet that I gave you. Which verse is the first pasuk? The first pasuk is Perek Yotes, pasuk Chaf. The second pasuk with Rashi, which means is Perek Chaf, pasuk Yotes. See, it's the reverse order. It's the same numbers. The first one is chapter 19, verse 20. The second one is chapter 20, verse 19. Is there any significance to that? Where do the chapters come to? In the Chumash, we have chapters. We know Moshe Rabbeinu divided the Torah into partials. Partials is whenever you see a pay and a samach. And the Chachamim divided them into weekly Torah sedras, what we read. But the chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, where does that come from? So there's a question amongst the rabbis where it comes from. Most people say that it doesn't come from the Jewish world. It was a Christian thing that somehow made its way into the Jewish Bible, the chapters. If that's the case, then you would wonder, why am I even going to present what we're going to present now? Because I'm going to use these numbers for a great Kabbalistic idea. Is there Kabbalistic significance to these numbers? So the Lubavitch Rebbe says that if it was accepted, and even if we say it originated not in a Jewish source, the fact that it became part of the Jewish, of our Torah, and all rabbis refer to it when you're looking up things, it's this chapter. If it wouldn't be kosher, it wouldn't have remained. The Jewish people would have spit it out. The fact that it remained within Judaism is a sign that it has been assimilated into Torah, and it is Torah. If it's Torah, let's take a look. Why is the first thing chapter 19, pasuk 20, and the second Rashi, chapter 20, verse 19? So let's get a little Kabbalistic for a moment. The number Yotes, the number 19. What's the significance of the number 19? Number 19, see, God's name, Hashem's name is Yud Ke Vav Ke, the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton is Gematria 26. We know that Yud Ke Vav Ke, Gematria 26. However, we know that the tetragrammaton sometimes is Gematria of much different numbers, and that's if we count the hidden letters that are not pronounced. For example, in a Yud, you have the word Yud, but Yud is a whole word. So if you write a Yud, it's 10. Yud is a 10. But if you pronounce Yud, you're saying Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet. If you would write out what you're pronouncing, you hear Yud, Vav, Dalet. That's called Miloy. Miloy are the hidden letters that are in every letter. Like if you would write out the word B, A, B, C. So B would be B, E, E. But the E, E you don't see when you see a B. That's called the Miloy, the hidden letters. So Yud, K, Vav, K. The Yud has a Yud and then a Vav and a Dalet. So it's Gematria 20. Because Yud is 10, Vav is 6, and Dalet is 4, so it's 20. Hey, there's different ways of filling the hey. We are now going to go with the filling of hey Aleph. Okay, for whatever reason, we're not going to go into that. There's different fillings of hey, but one of the ways of filling the Yud Ke Vav Ke is with an Aleph, called Miloy Alephin. If you fill the hey's with an Aleph, it's hey Aleph, it's 6. Hey Aleph is 6, 5 and 1 is 6. Vav is 13, because Vav is Vav, Aleph, Vav. Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav. If you're filling it with Alephs. And then the hey is again 6. 20 for the Yud. Hey is 6. Vav is 13. And the latter hey is 6. So 20 plus 12, the two hey's, plus 13 comes out 45. That's Hashem's name. Bimiluya, it's called Shem Ma, the name of 45. But the name of 45, let's separate. See what the Kabbalists say. What's the significance of the number 19? Let's separate the outer shell from the filling. We said now, 26 is the outer letters, the main letters. But what's the filling? What's inside? The letters that you don't see, that are hidden. So that's the Vav and the Dalet, plus the Aleph, and the Aleph Vav, and the Aleph from the Hay. The only letters that are not there. So let's see, simple. 45 minus 26. 45 minus 26 is 19. So 19 are the hidden letters that are in Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And you want to see what's really cool? Adam, man, is made in the image of God. Adam is gematria. Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem is gematria 45. Adam. But what's Adam's power? What's Adam's filling? Chava. Chava is gematria 19. Isn't that cool? Adam is 45, but that's Adam as he includes Chava as part of him. Because Adam is only called Adam when he's married. And he has Chava inside of him. But Chava herself, Ches, Vav, He, is 19. So Chava, 19, is the filling of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Now, what does it mean? What does that mean, the filling? You only say the filling letters when you're pronouncing it in speech. When you're writing it or see whatever, you don't say it. It's only when you're saying the letters out, Yud, Vav, Kei. So therefore, in Kabbalah it says that the miloy, the letters that are filling, that's the malchus of it. Because the malchus of every attribute is the revelation of that attribute. Malchus is revelation. That's why the woman, Chava is all about speech. The sages tell us that 10 measures of speech came to the world, 9 the women took. The women talk more than men. They're supposed to, because they're all about expression, revelation, expression, malchus, okay? So malchus is 19. Chava is malchus. Malchus is 19. Okay? Just remember that. Kingship, the attribute of kingship. Which kingship means expression. Now, what's the chaf? Chaf is, the letter chaf is indicative of the attribute of keser. We know there are 10 attributes. Chachma, bina, das, chesed, gevura, teferes, netzach, hod, yesod, malchus is 10. But above malchus is the crown. Keser represents the most transcendental aspect of God's light. Keser, high, that's why keser, it's a crown. It's not part of the body, it's above the body, it's the transcendence. What's keser? What does chaf have to do with keser? So first of all, chaf is the first letter of keser. The first letter of keser is chaf. But more than that, chaf equals, what's the number? Chaf is what? Chaf is 20. Gematria of chaf is 20. The Hebrew word for 20, if you besides the letter chav, is esrim. Esrim is the exact gematria of keser. Keser, 620. Esrim is 620, which is keser. So chav symbolizes keser. Yutes symbolizes malchus. What's the difference between malchus and keser? They're totally opposites. Keser represents above, the untouchable, the unknowable, the transcendent element of God that is utterly unknown. What is Malchus? Malchus is called the Shekhinah. What is Shekhinah? The part of God that does, the immanence of God, God's involvement, God's presence, God's descent into the world, the feminine side of God, where Hashem is involved, present, and down. Shochein, He dwells betachtonim. So Keser and Malchus, two opposites. But we know that in holiness, everything is integrated one with each other. So in Keser, there is what? The lowest part of Keser is Malchus Shebe Keser, the kingship attribute that is in Keser. Keser has a Malchus. Keser has an ability to descend, and that's the Malchus element. And vice versa. In the attribute of Malchus, Malchus has a crown, which is called Keser Malchus, the crown of Malchus. See, we're talking about two different levels. The attribute of Keser that is totally unknowable and transcendent has a Shechina element called Malchus Shebe Keser. Malchus, which is its own entity, it's the Shechina, has a Keser element in which she is tied above. She's down here, but yet she's higher. She's above. Malchus, the Keser of Malchus. And that's the difference between Perek Yotes, Pasuk Chaf, or Pasuk Chaf, Perek Yotes. Why? Perek Yotes means that the general chapter, the general theme, the general idea is Malchus. Because Yotes is Gematria Chava, is 19, that's Malchus. Pasuk, the verses, the different psukim, are the different elements that there are in, the different sefirot, that are in this attribute.
So in the Shekhinah, there is a Keser. There is Pasuk Chav. That's Perek Yotes Pasuk Chav. The Malchus, but the Keser that's in Malchus. Now, what's Perek Chav Pasuk Yotes? Perek Chav, if it's the chapter is 20, it means that the general theme is Keser, crown. It's Pasuk Yotes, it means what aspect of the crown is it? It's the descending element of the crown. It's Yotes, it's the Shechina element from the Keser. And now we understand the two Rashis perfectly. And the difference why, the two ideas that are emphasized over here in the Psukim. In the first Rashi, which is Rashi's explaining Pasuk, Perek Yotes, chapter 19, verse 20. So that is essentially the Shechina, the dwelling of God down here. It's only that we can't say in the Shechina itself, it's Keser. That's why Rashi says, the theme over here is that God descended. That's Shechina. He descended. You can't say, Rashi is coming, and Rashi says, you should know, that in this Shechina, Rashi is the secrets of the Torah, Rashi wants to tell you, it's not a complete and total descent, because within the Shechina, there is the Keser of the Shechina. The Keser of the Shechina means that the Shechina comes down, yet she hovers. Yet she's above. She doesn't touch ground completely. She has the heavens with her. Even while she's down here, she's still in the heavens. So the emphasis is the descent of Hashem, yet she's still higher. Because that's what Keser Malchus means. It's Malchus, it's Shechina. Within Shechina, it's the Keser. It's the transcendental. However, when we have after the Aseres Hadibros, something else is revealed. What's revealed at that point is Keser. God's crown, Perek Chof. Perek Chof means transcendence. It's the higher, it's the crown, it's the infinite. It's the heavenly element. That's why the verse is saying, Min HaShamayim. God is speaking you from the heavens, from the distant, removed. You can't touch Him. Just like the heavens are way out there. But the verse is also saying that Hashem descended. So what do you say? That Hashem, He's higher, but yet He came down. What's that? That's the Malchus element, the Pasuk Yotes in Keser. It's verse Yotes, verse 19, which means it's the Shechina element within Keser, that even though it's transcendent, it still comes down. And that's the difference. And that's why over here Rashi says like a bed sheet, and over here Rashi doesn't say like a bed sheet. Because saying like a bed sheet means it really invests itself in the world like a sheet on a bed, becomes part of the bed. You can only say that about Shechina. You can't say that about Keser. Keser, even when it comes down, always will never becomes enclosed in the world. It's too high. It's too infinite. Remains above. Shechina could become part of. So that's why in Perek Yotes Pasuk Chof, we can talk about a descent of God in a manner that He becomes assimilated into the mountain. But in Perek Chof Pasuk Yotes, when the emphasis is on the higher level, on the Keser, but on the Malchus of the, but we're still emphasizing that He came down. Even that descent does not allow it to become absorbed. The only thing I forgot to explain earlier is one I say, why Rashi emphasizes instead of Hashem, Vayered Kisei Akavod Aleihem, Rashi emphasizes in the first Rashi, I didn't mention this earlier, that the throne of glory came down. Why didn't he just say Vayered Hashem? It's because Rashi wants to, this is not Kabbalistic anymore, just a simple idea. When Rashi wanted to clarify, this is not the only time that God came down to this world. By Mitzrayim, Hashem came down. It says, Hashem said, Ve'ered, I descended, La'atziloi. And we say in the Agada, we say, Hashem says, I came down to Egypt. Ani v'loi malach, I am not an angel. Ani v'loi shliach. So God Himself came down. How come we don't see the fire and the burning? We saw the great plagues. But if over here we see when God came down, what happened? There is a fire. There's no fire on the mountain, but there was a big fire and there's a smoke. We don't see that in Mitzrayim. So to answer that, Rashi says, Kisei HaKavod. There's a difference when God came down to Mitzrayim. When Hashem came down to Mitzrayim, He was just passing through. He went to do a job. So when He's going through, He doesn't have to come down with all of His majesty and all of its power. But when Hashem came down to give the Torah, the intention is, the Torah is meant to make God have a presence and a permanent presence in this world. God is coming down to reign over this world forever and ever through the Torah and mitzvahs that we will do. That's why it says the throne of glory came down. And when the throne comes down, it's on display, fire, smoke. That's implying that there is a presence of God as he is descending over here in a more powerful, and that's what the throne is. Because first of all, a seat, just a mirror. When you say, when you give someone a chair to sit down when they come into the office or whatever, come to see and give them a chair, it means that you're inviting them to stay for a little while. If you want them to leave quickly, you're not going to give them a chair. So a chair means sit down. The fact that Hashem is sitting down means that he's here to stay. The fact that it says Kisei HaKavod, a throne, is emphasizing the majesty of God. And if it's Hashem's majestic glory, it's with a fire, it's with the whole tumlet, it's in a manner that it's displaying all the glamour of godliness, which was at Har Sinai. That, all that fire and all that glamour and all that godliness, even though at Har Sinai, we saw it, but again, it disappeared. Our work now for the last 3,500 years of implementation of Torah and mitzvahs in the world, including the mitzvahs that you, me, all of us will do tonight and tomorrow, will make that the Kisei HaKavod, that the throne of glory, will be present in the world forever and ever in a revealed way down here that we can see it. Bekar of Mamish, may it happen now.
Gale yure me kabai tala kuvois, koi doi di inai zebu. Me dalai gale yure me kabai tala kuvois, koi doi di inai zebu.